You've reached Conversations with My Dummy, and I'm Steve Charney. And my guest today is, drumroll high.
All right, Steve. Give me something with a little more oomph, will ya? How's this, Steve?
Too much.
Is this good?
Oh, you're a riot, Alice.
All right, Steve, I'll do it right.
Thank you.
We have as our guest the amazing, the fantastic Eric Weisberg. Eric Weisberg. Thanks, man.
No problem, Steve.
Eric was a studio musician and is on literally thousands of records, including Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks, man. This guy's serious stuff. One of his greater claims to fame is being the guy who played dueling banjos, which was a huge hit after it was featured in the movie Deliverance. Well, guess what? I'll be playing that tune with him. Yikes. It's not an easy tune to play, let me tell you that. Stay around for that. And we've all been hearing about alternative facts. Harry's got some alternative facts for us.
Not alternative, Steve. Untrue.
It's untrue that they're alternative?
True.
So it is true they're alternative.
We'll find out, Steve. We'll find out.
Will we?
Nope. What I just said is untrue.
Oh, boy.
Can we talk about Patreon.com?
If you must.
I must. It's the only way we're going to get any money to eat out of this podcast.
Is that part true?
That's the only time I'm not lying.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. If you like this podcast and you want to support Charney here, then go to patreon.com/Steve Charney and become a patron for $1 a month. For that, you'll get photos, a CD download, jokes, and other stuff that only patrons get. In fact, one of the rewards will be one of his CDs that he's featuring a song or two on today. And you'll feel like a king or queen. I mean, you know, the kind who used to be patrons for the artists and musicians of old. For a lousy $1 a month, you can walk around and make decrees and shout, "Off with his head!" and feel important and stuff. And you will be, at least in Steve and my eyes. So, that's Patreon, spelled patreon.com/Steve Charney, and show your support. And you can also hear this podcast on YouTube, and you can hear it on iTunes, of course.
Okay, good, Harry. And now?
Now it's time for Untrue Facts!
Wait, turn off the music!
What?
Untrue Facts? That's a contradiction. If it's a fact, it's true.
Yeah, but it can be a fact that something is untrue.
Huh?
For instance, did you know that in Shakespeare's time, sugar was salty and salt was sweet? Over the last 300 years, they slowly switched. That's because they look so similar, people got them mixed up.
Yeah, well, how come they don't mix them up now?
Well, people are a lot more educated than in the old days, Steve. Back then, it wasn't strange for someone to go no further than third grade. What did they know?
And this is totally untrue.
Absolutely. Now, recent archaeological digs show that the knees of cavemen from 500,000 years ago bent both ways. This way, when they sat down, they could have a lap in the front or in the back of them.
I don't believe that.
No reason why you should. It's completely untrue.
But it is a fact.
That's right. It's a sure fact that it's untrue. Now, according to the NRA, when guns were first invented, they didn't go bang. They went... It was only later, when they started putting bullets into the chamber instead of small meatballs, that they started getting the sound we hear today.
Wow. I didn't know.
Do you know how whales communicate with each other?
By phone?
Forget it. I'm not going to do this anymore. If you're going to make fun of me...
I'm sorry. I won't anymore. Go ahead. Read some more lies. I won't get in your way.
They're not lies. They're untrue facts. Please.
Sorry. I didn't know there was a difference.
There is. Now, I lost my place. Oh, yeah, here we go. Whales communicate by emitting different tones that travel through the water.
That's not untrue.
It isn't?
No.
Oh, sorry. Then forget that one. It shouldn't be in here. Oh, here's an interesting one. Marvin T. Thistlebone, in 1967, invented a square balloon. When you blew it up, it was square, not round. It defied all laws of physics, and as a result, Marvin was whisked away by aliens and was never heard from again.
Wow.
Here's another one. It turns out, get the music ready, because this is amazing. It turns out that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin did not land on the moon.
What? What do you mean?
They thought it was the moon, much the way Columbus thought he had landed in India. In truth, what they landed on was a large asteroid that was passing by the moon at the time. No one at ground control had the heart to tell them the truth after all the work they had done, so they kept it from them for years. It was only in 1978 that the truth slipped out at the water cooler at NASA. That's when Buzz Aldrin got so depressed.
So that means the moon rocket the Air and Space Museum isn't really from the moon.
That's right. It's from Venus. But that's another story. By the way, they named that museum from the first chicken ever to go in orbit, Aaron Space. Aaron was a fine chicken.
Air and Space Museum.
Ah, yeah, no. That's what they want you to think it is. But it's Aaron. Aaron Space. That's his name.
Why would they want you to think that?
Who's gonna go to a museum named after a chicken? And that ends our untrue facts for today. Strange and amazing untrue facts.
Man, are you a nut.
Now let's listen to When I Play Dueling Banjos with Eric Weisberg.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Eric. Eric is a banjo player, studio musician. He's been on dozens and dozens and dozens of records. You live in Woodstock.
I live in Woodstock.
Great place to live.
Yep.
And you wrote Dueling Banjos. You didn't write Dueling Banjos.
I didn't write it. Right.
You performed Dueling Banjos for the movie Deliverance.
Right.
And basically you're connected with that song.
Yeah,
forever.
Basically I am, right. For good, for better or worse.
For better or for worse. Some people, you know, go, gee, you know, I've been stuck with that song.
Well, now it's gotten to the thing. I never really liked it when it was first came out in the 50s. I mean, when it was first a record. And I never really enjoyed playing it. Never actually played it, really, until the movie. But now it's fun because it's so silly. We just goof on it. Whoever I play with, we just goof on it. No matter what happens, no matter how it comes out, it's right. You know,
I'm glad you
fun.
Said that, Eric.
I'm trying to protect you, Steve.
Thanks. We're about to try it. And I'm a little intimidated, and I'm probably going to make a lot of mistakes, but we're going to give it a shot here. Dueling banjos. Not dueling tubas. Not dueling Brandos.
Right.
Remember Dueling Brandos?
Yeah. Was that from Saturday Night
Live? Saturday Night Live. John Belushi and who else was doing that?
I don't know. Aykroyd, maybe?
Yeah. I'm sure people out there going, I know who it is. Yeah, I'll call up and let them know. But we don't know. Okay. John Belushi was one. Maybe it was Marlon Brando.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Okay. Dueling Banjos.
Although it might help his career now.
Anything would help his career
I think
now.
So. Okay. Let me put this mic down.
Thank you.
That's great. Okay. I made a couple of boo-boos there, but I sort of stayed with you.
You're supposed to. Absolutely. It's two guys playing in a gas station, you know.
Oh, right, that's right. And one was a little off-kilter.
One was slightly strange. He was a weird little kid, actually.
He was. Well, it wasn't that inbreeding. That was supposed to be inbreeding.
Yeah, he was from down there in Georgia. Yeah. And
that's right, the backwoods.
They found him down there, and they left him down there. Only he's a big star down there now.
He was good. Now, that was you actually playing banjo.
Yeah.
That was you. He just was faking it.
Right. I had to show him what to do to make him look like he was playing, you know. He didn't really want to, he wanted to go outside and smoke a cigarette, you know.
Really, yeah.
But he stuck with it, and I think he did a good job.
So he wasn't a real actor. He really was like that.
Yeah, he was from down in Georgia.
Well, that's interesting. Well, of course, we're talking about the movie Deliverance, where dueling banjos originally, well, not originally, but where it hit the mainstream.
Right, hit the mainstream.
It became the hit.
Exactly.
Did that ever get to be number one on the radio?
Oh, yeah, it was number one for quite a long time. The album was number one. It was quite a phenomenon.
I mean, who would ever expect
a record of two guys playing in a gas station, a banjo and a guitar, to be a number one hit record? It was just too bizarre to even contemplate, you know.
Well, lucky for you it was.
Lucky for me, right?
Eric Weisberg here, helping me muddle through dueling banjos. But it wasn't even dueling banjos. It was a dueling banjo and a dueling guitar.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, originally it was feud and banjos, and it was two banjos. And then it was all different kinds of things. People changed the name of it and all kinds of weird things. Mm-hmm. By the way, I will send you a bill for the guitar lessons.
It was worth every penny of it. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Okay.
And we are Conversations with My Dummy, and little Google search showed me that it was Peter Boyle who did Dueling Brandos with John Belushi.
Well, what's that, by the way? What's that you got in the bag there? What? Oh, my apple is in here, Steve. Well, why do you carry around an apple with you?
Well, don't you know that an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
Well, yeah.
So if I don't eat an apple every day, well, the doctor just might not stay away, and, well, who knows what'll happen?
I don't think that's what the expression means, Har.
In fact, I better eat one right now. I haven't had one yet today. Wait a second. What's in my apple? Steve, my apple, it's gone!
Well, I'll get you another one after the show.
You don't understand, Steve. If I don't have an apple soon, well, the doctors won't stay away. It could be terrible.
Harry, the expression an apple a day keeps the doctor away is just a way of showing how good apples are for you. In other words, if you eat an apple every day, you'll be so healthy that you won't need a doctor.
Well, maybe in the real world, Steve, but remember, this is an audio podcast.
So?
Well, I mean, this is sort of a fantasy world we create here. I'm not real. You already know that. And, well, a lot of things that go on between you and me are just sketches that come out of your imagination.
So?
So? That means that an apple a day keeps the doctor away can be taken literally.
Don't be ridiculous. Who is it?
It's the doctor.
Oh.
Don't let him in, Steve.
I have to, Harry.
Well, why?
Because if he doesn't come in and give you a checkup, it won't be funny. You said yourself that this is all a fantasy. Come in!
Hello, I'm Dr. Finstermacher, and, well, I heard we have a very sick boy here.
I'm not sick, Doc. I just forgot to eat my apple today.
Well, then what's that in your throat?
Well, what's in my throat?
Looks like an Adam's apple to me.
How do you know it belongs to Adam? Well, actually, it's not an apple in my throat at all. I swallowed a frog.
Well, you mean you have a frog in your throat?
Exactly.
Well, this is more serious than I thought. You need a checkup.
See, I told you this would happen, Steve.
Well, it's your...
Who is it?
It's probably another doctor.
Well, I hope not. I don't think I could handle another voice.
Who is it?
It's another doctor.
Well, come in.
I'm here to do a checkup on Harry. Wait, you can't do a checkup on him. I'm doing a checkup on him. Well, let's both do a checkup on him. Lift up your shirt there.
Okay.
And also open up your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
Now, I'm going to just tap your chest here, and there we go. Put it there.
Who's there?
Steve, it's another doctor.
Who is it?
It's another doctor.
See, I told you, Steve.
Come in.
Steve, I need an apple, quick.
Yes, I heard there was a sick boy here.
I think I see the frog in your throat. We may have to operate. Do you realize that you have no heartbeat?
I'll check the reflexes in your knees. Take off your pants.
Hey, Harry, look here. Your apple rolled under the table. That's why you couldn't find it.
Steve, get it for me, quick. These doctors are driving me crazy.
Wait a second. If you have no heartbeat and, well, your chest is obviously hard as rock here, you're probably dead.
His knee reflexes show a definite lack of life also.
And the frog in his throat proves it. He's already croaked.
Here's the apple, Harry. Hurry up and eat it. Handling five voices in one sketch is crazy.
Okay, here goes, Steve.
Hey, what's going on here? I'm starting to fade.
Me too.
Me three.
And take your doctor bags with you.
Wait a second. I'm too young for a comedic dissolve.
Save me. I'm melting.
And your little dog, Toto, too.
They're gone, Harry.
Thank goodness, Steve. Now will you believe me? Next time I tell you that an apple a day keeps the doctor away?
Absolutely, but what about the frog in your throat?
The frog? Oh, he disappeared in the comedic dissolve also.
Give me that apple.
Now most people think that the West was won with cowboys and their horses and guns. But they don't realize that the way it was done was with Pete and his 45 caliber pun. Now Pete was a cowboy who'd shoot from the lip, and all of the baddies from town would skip. They'd skip their ropes, they'd skip their dinner, and Pete would move on to the next lawless sinner. He'd say to that sinner, before he could draw, here's paper and pencil now, draw me a door, and leave this town through the door you just drew, or I'll shoot a pun that'll blast right through your chest of drawers, and out your ears of corn, and you'll die laughing with no one to mourn. And so that sinner, he was on the run, 'cause of Pete and his 45 caliber pun. And then old Pete would pack up his pun. He'd steer his horse to the setting sun. Yes, he had a son who was setting the table with a place for the horse so that they'd be able to be three instead of two, and the West was one, which added up to four, so when dinner was done, four could play bridge until the bridge fell down. And Pete would move on to the next wild town, where no one had heard of the damage he'd done. Pete and his 45 caliber pun. Now out in the West, Pete had a horse voice used to call cowboys. From across the plains, the aeroplanes, and the pilots would think it was Indian raids. But it was only Pete and his big horse voice calling to all the lonesome cowboys. And when they heard, they grabbed their cows. Have you heard of cows? Well, this was a cow herd. 'Cause they'd heard of Pete and the things he'd done. Pete and his 45 caliber pun. Now finally, the outlaws couldn't take it no more. Pete and his pun, they were worse than the law. They were left to die laughing, and sometimes they'd choke. Pete and his pun were the worst kind of joke. And the outlaws all left or retired their guns. And that was the truth, how the Wild West was won. And sometimes at night, when the full moon is young, you can hear Pete repeating his 45 caliber pun.
That was a song I wrote with my pal Paul J. John Sebastian is playing lead guitar and harmonica, Doug James on drums, and also Jay Hunger and Molly Mason. It's on an album called The Riddle King's Riddle Songs, available, by the way, on my website if you go to the sales page, or if you become a patron of the show on patreon.com/Steve Charney. You'll get a free download. This podcast is produced, written, and performed by me, Steve Charney, and besides Patreon, you can hear this podcast on iTunes and on my YouTube channel. You can also visit my website, stevecharney.com, to access my blog and more information about me than you'll ever need or want. And of course, you know, there's Facebook. Just type in Conversations with My Dummy and you'll get there. And thanks for listening. Harry, any last words to say?
Yeah. Support Steve on patreon.com/stevecharney and you'll be supporting a serious artist doing serious work who's in serious trouble.